You're listening to the Revolution Church Podcast. To learn more, including our gathering times in Crossville, Tennessee, visit us at crossvillerevolution.com.
All right, what's going on, Rev Church? Everybody say, yeah, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
So good to see everybody this weekend. What an incredible day it's already been with baptisms. And man, it's pretty outside. Look at your neighbor and say, it's pretty outside. Come on. Awesome stuff, man. Awesome stuff. Well, hey, we're going to get going because we got a lot to do today. If you're visiting with Revolution Church or it's your first time here, I'm going to explain something that I like to explain every single Sunday before I preach. We are in the middle of a series called Next Steps, where we are looking at a few different subjects, but that's out of character for us. Typically, we do what we call expository preaching, which means simply that we go verse by verse through entire books of the Bible or large passages of Scripture. The reason we're in this Next Step series is because since we moved into the old Rocky Top 10 Theater, this facility that we've been in for about 6 months, our church has grown exponentially, and we have hundreds of new people that are coming to church, and we know that there are several people that are new, and along with probably a lot of people that have been with us a long time, that need to take their next steps. We saw almost 50 people, as I've already said, when we had baptism just now, take their next step of baptism on Easter Sunday. Was that not incredible, y'all? Easter weekend, yeah. Baptizing. Woo! 50 people. Wasn't spontaneous. We talked to every one of those people before they did it, vetted them, made sure they understood what they were doing, and just incredible to see God do that. The week after Easter, Pastor Brandon did an incredible job of preaching on taking the next step of generosity. We had so many people take their next step of giving, of generosity. After that, we talked about connection, and spoiler alert, connection is also necessary for what we're going to talk about today, and you'll get a 30,000-foot view of what we talked about with connection today as we talk about our subject today. And then last week, we talked about serving. We saved not the best for last, but I would say maybe the most needed for last, because today we're going to talk about finding freedom. The term or phrase, finding freedom, in the church world has many different titles. Some call it freedom. Some call it deliverance. Some would say it is healing. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 16 to 21 today. And we're going to answer the question of how do I find freedom? And what does that even mean for me? In Ephesians chapter 1, you're going to recognize this passage if you've been to the growth track before here at the church. The growth track is something that takes place the first three Sundays of the month during the second service that you can attend. You don't have to attend it in the same month. You can break it up. But this is the passage we use, one of the passages we use, to really define the four core values we have at Revolution Church. Just a reminder, those values are, we want people to know Jesus. We want people to find freedom, which is what we're talking about today. We want people to discover their purpose so that they can make a difference. We feel like if every single person that attends Revolution Church is doing those four things, then we're doing what we're supposed to do corporately as a church together. You're going to see the first couple of values that we have as we go through them today as it pertains to finding freedom. So let's start in verse 16. Y'all with me? Say, I am. Paul, if you remember in Ephesians chapter 1, we did a series through this book when we first moved into this facility. So I preached on this passage literally about 6 months ago. And just as a reminder, a refresher, Paul wrote the letter of Ephesians to a church in Ephesus, and it was written to Christians. It was written to the church, people that were already Christians. This is what he says. I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know him better. Everybody say, know him. One, two, three. Know him. There's our first value. Our first value is we want people to know God. We want people to know him. We want people, more specifically, to know Jesus. how we say it in the South is we want folks to get saved. If you're in here right now and you have not made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, we're not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. We're not trying to work you in any way or have some kind of emotional moment and put on some slick presentation to fool you into doing that. We are unapologetic about the fact that we want you to have a personal relationship with Jesus. First, we've got to get this straight. If you are going to find freedom in your life and live a life of victory, first, you have to fulfill our first value. You have to know Jesus. There is no freedom without first knowing Christ as your Savior. You can follow all the steps that we're going to lay out after this point. You can do all the things that the world has you to do, and those things might help you. You may go to counseling, you may go to therapy, you may do this, you may do that. But if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior and put your trust in Him, you will never have full and complete freedom. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "Therefore," listen to this language, "there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." In other words, if you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior, there is no condemnation that the enemy has for you or anyone else. In other words, when you know Jesus, you can know what freedom really is. It continues and says, "Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." Everybody say, free.
Free.
I don't know about y'all, but freedom is a beautiful thing in my eyes. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is quoting the Old Testament and fulfilling the prophecy that was given. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." One of the main reasons Jesus came, yes, he came to die and bleed on a cross for you so you could be set free of your sins and you could be saved for eternity, and that is the most important thing. But also Jesus came so you could live a life of freedom. He came to set the oppressed free. He's speaking of spiritual warfare here. He wants you to live in victory. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, "If the Son sets you free," very well-known verse, "you will be," what does it say, y'all? "Free indeed." Woo, man. I'm losing my voice from screaming for the baptisms already. Free indeed. Jesus here uses two different phrases. Hey, when you get saved, you're set free. But then, for lack of a better way of putting it, there's another level to freedom that you can function in before you get to heaven in this life, where you are, as he puts it, free indeed. The problem with most Christians today is they never experience being free indeed. The problem, I dare say, with most people in this room is you've been set free from your sins and the Son has set you free and you know you're going to heaven, you know you've got Jesus, but you don't know what it's like to live free indeed. You don't know what it's like to live in victory, to fight from victory, not for victory. Free indeed. So many Christians feel like there's this old saying, you got saved, but then you jumped right back into craziness in your life and madness all around you and confusion and drama. So it's like you, y'all know this saying, jumped out of the frying pan, right into the what, y'all? Right into the fire. Right into the fire. I got out of the frying pan and Jesus saved me. My life's still crazy. I still got addictions. My marriage is a mess. I struggle in my brain to take thoughts captive. Paul says, know him. And then in verse 18, look what he says. Y'all still with me? Say, I am.
He
says, I want you to know him better. And then he says in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I love the way this translation puts it, the NIV. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Paul is saying every single one of us have heart eyes. In other words, we see the world and our circumstances and the things around us through the lens of our heart. In other words, we see it through the lens of our experiences. We see it through the lens of the things that we've been through. One preacher puts it like this: so many of us see our future through the lens of what we've experienced in our past. And Paul says, I'm praying that your heart eyes are enlightened. In other words, you don't just see things through your past, through your pains, through the things you've experienced. You see things through the lens that God wants you to see things through. You see your future not just through your past, but you see what God wants you to see. Heart eyes. What an interesting phrase. Every one of us has strongholds, as the Bible puts it, in our mind. In other words, in psychology, they say every one of us has neural pathways that we've set up. And those neural pathways have become very strong after years and years of making decisions certain ways, acting certain ways, responding certain ways. That's our heart eyes. We think a certain way. We act a certain way. We have habits that we do over and over and over. And let's be honest, for many of us, a lot of those things are broken. The way we think is broken. The way we act is broken. Paul says, I'm praying that you find freedom, that your heart eyes are enlightened, because you cannot trust looking at things through the lens of your past. You cannot trust looking at things through the lens of just your experiences. You certainly cannot trust looking at things purely through the lens of your feelings. He says, I want you to be enlightened. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may, listen, this is the why, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Know the hope to which, I want you to find freedom from your past. Find freedom from your pain. Find freedom from your brokenness. Find freedom from the experiences that you see everything through, so that you may know the hope to which God has called you. So that you may know that God has his hand on your life. That he wants good things for you. And we've got to define what those good things are, because that doesn't mean $1 million and a nice car in the driveway always, okay, y'all? Some of the best things happen are the things that we think are the worst, but God uses all things for those that are called according to his purpose and love him. Amen, Rev Church? He wants you to flourish. He wants you to be free. He wants you to know that you have a purpose and that you can make a difference. He wants you to find freedom. Everybody say freedom.
Freedom.
So many people in the church are walking around with so much potential. But if we're honest, we feel like we're dead spiritually. Again, we know we're saved. What good am I? I can't even get past this addiction that I have. My marriage is barely hanging on by a thread, so what can I do? There's a place in the United States that is the driest place in the United States, the hottest place in the United States, and almost nothing can live in this place. And they named it Death Valley. That's the name of the place. You ever heard of Death Valley before? Raise your hand. This is a picture of Death Valley. Take a look at it. That's what it looks like. It's barren. There's nothing there. It never rains. There's no life there. And they literally gave it the name Death Valley to signify nothing will ever live there. Well, in the winter of 2004, weather patterns made it so that for the first time in the history of since they've been keeping records, in Death Valley, 7 inches of rain fell. It never happened before. They couldn't believe it. They were like, 7 inches of rain fell on this valley. Well, about 6 months later in the spring of 2005, something happened in Death Valley that they called a super bloom. This is what happened in Death Valley, the super bloom. Take a look at it. Look at this. This is the exact same angle. Look at that. That's the super bloom. Death Valley wasn't dead. Death Valley was dormant. Death Valley always had the seeds of potential of life. It just needed the right environment, so to speak, for it to produce fruit. Many people sitting in here under the sound of my voice feel like you've been named Death Valley. And not to get too hyper-charismatic in here, but the word of the Lord for you this weekend is, you are not dead. There are seeds of potential in you. God wants you to flourish. God wants you to find freedom. You just have to be in the right environment and have the right things pouring into you to see that potential come about. God wants you to find freedom. I don't know how I convince you anymore. Let me just read a few scriptures to you. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul is writing about freedom from legalism, which is what some of y'all need to get set free from. Some of y'all were raised in some kind of broken, dead religion in Crossville that taught you you had to follow all these rules or God wouldn't love you, and you've struggled with it your whole life, and you've got religious OCD as a result of it. And your spouse knows it, but you don't know it. You know what I'm saying? And you need to be set free of legalism. But this doesn't just apply to legalism. It applies to other things too. He wrote this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by yoke of slavery." In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes, "Now the Lord is the Spirit." And y'all know this verse: "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what, y'all?
Freedom.
Freedom. Freedom. Freedom. We're like William Wallace up in here. Y'all know what I'm saying? Freedom. That's what God wants for our lives. John chapter 8, Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will Let's say that together again. "You will know the truth, and the truth will
set you free.
God wants you to be free. He wants you to be free. So Paul, let me read this verse again. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you." And then if you want to know what the hope to which he has called you is, he explains it: "The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms." The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to every believer to set you free from whatever it is that's holding you back. Do we get this? We read through this and it kind of gets lost in the old English and Game of Thrones top language, right? You get what he just said? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to every single one of us to find freedom. Question: if this power can raise Jesus from the dead, can it set you free from your past? If this power can raise Jesus from the dead, can it set you free from your addiction? If this power can raise Jesus from the dead, can it heal your marriage? If this power can raise Jesus from the dead, and y'all better get going or I'm going to have like 100 of these until everybody gets involved. If this power can raise Jesus from the dead, can it heal you emotionally?
Yeah.
If this power can raise Jesus from the dead, then is it going to be tough for this power to heal you physically? No. If this power can raise Jesus from the dead, can it give you the strength to get through whatever it is you're struggling through right now? Yes. An incredible promise. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, and we're going to sing three songs together. That's two. Three songs together. Three songs together. And worship was off the chain today. It was incredible. So some of y'all, like, you just get to sing again. Amen, y'all. Let's give them a hand. Come on. They crushed it. Some of y'all are going to enjoy this more than having to listen to me for another 10 minutes. But some of y'all need to begin the process of finding freedom. I've never sat in a church service where they explain so clearly what I'm getting ready to explain to you. We're going to have an altar call. And I can't even remember the last time we had an altar call at Revolution Church. If you're new to us, we don't have altar calls every single week because we don't think altar calls need to become like a religious thing, that we just go through the motions and they just kind of get swept aside and they're no big deal. We do them when the Lord leads us to do them specifically. And this weekend, God was clear. God wanted us to have an altar call, for lack of a better way of putting it. This altar call has one purpose. It's for you to be able to get out what it is you're struggling through. We're going to have different leaders in the church, elders, pastors, that are going to be stationed on the stairs, on the landing, and at the bottom. They've got light-up lanyards. The ladies have pink ones. The men have blue ones. If you're a lady, I would suggest you go to another lady. If you're a man, I would suggest you go to a man. And this is your opportunity. Some of y'all, man, you've been holding on to stuff 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Nobody knows about the thing you did or the thing that happened to you, and the enemy has tormented you with it. Well, now is your chance to find freedom. It's your chance to start the process of finding freedom from whatever that thing is that is holding you back. Why do you say that? Why do I have to get up and get it out? Get it off my chest. Tell somebody what I did. Tell somebody what somebody did to me. Tell somebody to pray for me because I'm struggling and I need to be healed physically. Tell somebody to pray for my marriage, whatever it is. Because the scripture tells us this. You want to know what free indeed, how that happens? The book of James tells us. See, you're set free from your sins for eternity when you confess to God. But the way you live in victory in this life and you are free indeed, James says, we confess our sins one to another and we find freedom. 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 Too many people in the church are just coming to church. And the reason you've jumped out of the frying pan into the fire is because you come and go. You have no connection. Nobody to confess to, nobody to pray for you, nobody to hold your arms up for you when you're in the middle of a battle, nobody to bear your burdens for you. So now is your opportunity. So many people in the first service took advantage of this. Nobody's judging it. Hey, maybe one person won't respond to this, and I'm totally fine with that. I'm secure. This isn't seeing how effective Josh is as a preacher, like every church makes an altar call. That's not what this is. One person might not respond, and that is totally fine. We'll sing. We'll blow it out. We'll have a great time, and then I'll pray for y'all and dismiss you. But I'm just telling you, all week I've been praying that there's people in here that get it out. Get it off their chest. I have people all the time when I preach sermons on freedom come to me inevitably after the service. They say, Josh, I need to tell somebody. I need to tell somebody. I'm going to tell you. This is what happened to me when I was a kid. This is what's going on in my marriage. This is, and you know what I tell them when they tell me this? I say, hey, man, you got it out. So it's over. Don't let the enemy torment you anymore about it. You're free. It's over. I just encourage them. I'm like, hey, the Lord's forgiven you for it. You've done what the Bible said and you've remedied it and you've confessed it to me. So let's move forward now. And this is never going to hold you back ever again the rest of your life. The enemy will rue the day that he tried to use this thing that happened to you over and over and over to hold you back in your relationship with God. That's all we want to do. We want to encourage you to find freedom. I'm going to tell you what the second step is after we sing, because that's not all there is to this. Let me pray. Stand up. I'm going to pray and then we'll sing. Lord, we love you. You're awesome. You're mighty. We pray for this time together. I pray that folks find freedom. In Jesus' name.
If you're encouraged by today's message, be sure and rate us and subscribe on iTunes.